There's a certain silence on the border I've only experienced on battlefields. If you ever walk on one like Gettysburg, Normandy, or Shiloh, for instance, you can almost hear an echo of the terrible things that had once happened there. It's there if you listen, but you have to listen so very closely. The Mexican-American border is like this. Not that it is a place of terrible things, although I'm sure it is in some places, but it is a place so on the conscience of hundreds of millions of people that it has a weight, and with that weight comes a definitive, almost reverent silence. I crave this sort of silence, you see. I need it to clear my head, to help me put into context the things I've seen, the things I've done. So it was on a lonely Tuesday night that I was walking through the silent desert somewhere south of Tucson near the border. My mind had been spinning around a firefight I'd been a part of in Afghanistan. I could hear the screams and feel the sisk of bullets as they barely missed me. Even though it was only a memory, I wanted badly to run. But the border helped ground me. As I walked, staring into the Milky Way, it helped me remember who I was, who I'd wanted to be before I got all the bad memories. I'd walk and look and embrace the silence like Linus would a great celestial blanket. Then I heard the first of them. My battle memory dissipated like mist on a hot desert day as I searched for the sound. It sounded like a frog in some ways, but the sound was too high, too breathless, and beneath a rustling just on the edge of my hearing, like paper rubbing against old bones. I checked my GPS. I was roughly on the U.S. side of the border on the Gila Bend Indian Reservation. I searched around for any telltale lights of vehicles on the ground and helicopters in the sky, but I was solidly alone. I finally determined the sound was coming from just south of where I stood. Without thinking, I moved towards it. Soon the single were joined by others, and the rubbing noise grew louder. Eventually, I found myself on the edge of a small bluff, staring down into a lonely valley. I immediately got down on my knees, then lowered myself to my chest and lay prone. I didn't want to silhouette myself against the sky until I could determine what those things were milling on the ground far below. After a few moments, my mind gave them term as I recognized many of their parts. Grasshoppers, or probably locusts. But these were different than any other kind I'd ever seen. As their cree-cree calls became louder and more persistent, so did their numbers, each of them pulling themselves from a hole in the ground like an ant would from an anthill. Many were so small I could barely see them, yet others were clearly visible. From my elevation, I calculated that the larger ones had to be the size of Great Danes, if not Shetland ponies. And their faces. Their faces were different, horrifically different. Instead of the long, thin, insectile protuberances I'd come to know as a child, when I chased the grasshoppers through many of the field of my youth, these had flattened white faces like skulls. Suddenly, a pack of javelina broke from a copse of ground cover. Father, mother, and several babies fleeing these new, strange desert intruders. Then as one, the locusts moved. Hopping, sliding, slithering, some running on back legs, they threw themselves at the doomed javelina, covering them, devouring them, until there was nothing left. I noticed, as the cree-crees returned, that when they ate, they were utterly silent. I also noticed that the number of locusts was ever increasing. Where there had been hundreds before, there were now thousands, and the numbers were still increasing. They'd begun to pour from the hole in the desert floor faster and faster, as if they were being shoved from beneath by an even greater number. At that moment, I realized how precarious my position was. I realized how alone I was, and as I realized it, the first of them saw me. Their reaction spoke to a deeper form of communication, as if somewhere, somehow, they were all extensions of one larger, more immense carnivorous beast. For now, they all saw me. I heard no crees, instead a massive rustling of paper on bone. But where before the sound had been almost unhearable, it now overwhelmed even the sounds of my own breathing. They were stampeding towards me, and it was only my legs which I had to carry me to safety, legs which were already tiring. Luckily, if one had luck in such terrible moments, they had to climb to reach my elevation. I was perhaps a quarter mile away by the time the first creature crested the bluff. It was immense, with yellow eyes above its death's head face. It gave a brilliant that shook the world. Then the rest of the locust creatures boiled past and onto the desert floor, churning the sand into a swirling sea of mad dust. I ran like I had when I was a kid being chased by bullies. I ran like I had during the battle in Lasker Gah. I ran like the devil himself was behind me. I ran because to do otherwise would be to welcome the fate of the javelinas. A chorus of noise broke through the sound of the stampeding locusts. Running pell-mell like I was, I didn't recognize it at first. Helicopter engines, not just one or two, but a phalanx was arrayed before me. Their light suddenly came on, spearing the rampaging beast with million candlewatts of power. Then the missiles fired. And guns sang. And the earth trembled with violent explosions. I slowed, my legs unable to continue. I stumbled once, and had to reach down to keep my balance. When I looked up, I spied a soldier. He wore night vision goggles, body armor, and carried what looked like a scythe. Then I was tumbling. A creature had grabbed me. I felt his legs wrap around one of my own as if it was a giant drumstick. Then a searing pain followed. It seemed to last forever, but only lasted for a second or two before... The soldier brought down the scythe, killing the dread beast that had attached itself to me. I stared into the awful death's head face, and as it died, I thought I might have heard, at the edge of my hearing, like an echo from a long-ago battle, a single, mournful... That was 7 months ago. I no longer walk in the desert. I no longer like the silence. There are things in the desert worse than anything in my dreams, my memories. There are places there that you don't want to find. Where once I looked at it as a comforting friend, the desert is now alien to me. I think about going back one day with the daylight bright over my shoulder, but the 2-foot scar on my leg aches with a reminder of what I might find. No, the desert is no place for me anymore. They live in the desert, and I'll leave it to them. And I'll try and forget them and hope that one day they don't make it past the soldiers. Because if they do, there's no place safe. No place safe. No place safe at all.